Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Church of the Strange. I am the one and only Spooky Chris. Thanks for joining me. It has been a minute, and by a minute, it has been many, many months and a whole move. So I am in the new Daredevil dungeon, the Haunted Mansion. The new digs, as it were. And hey, I thought I would take a minute and say hello. How you been? as we round into April of 2023, a whole new world, a whole new year. I forget to take a minute and talk, just catch you up with the weirdness, weird horror stuff I've been kind of experiencing of late. So, you know, welcome and hello. I am Chris Ringler, the aforementioned Spooky Chris. This is my wee little podcast. I'm an author and occasional filmmaker and event dude and ne'er do well. And this is my little thing. As it were. You can find all my books and such at spookychris.com, my website, and where the whole catalog of these atrocities are housed. Hello. Over the last weekend, I had a chance to go to a regional horror convention with a couple of friends, and that was very, very fun. I haven't been to one in a while. As someone who tends to try to focus more on vending at these, it's weird to just go as kind of a civvy, as it were, just kind of as a fan. My preference, of course, is to go and to sell things and to be a vendor. It's a different experience. It's weird. There's pros and cons on both sides of the table. It's you know, obviously much less grueling to go as a fan. You can kind of come and go as you please. Kind of the experience is whatever you want to make it. Whereas if you're a vendor, you're kind of tied there. It's funny because it's fun, but it is exhausting because you're talking, you're basically there for 2 to 3 days, full days, by, you know, many times by yourself, just kind of trying to sell your wares, which can get tiresome on its own. Just trying to keep positive and up and like, hey, without being a kind of a crummy salesperson, which I've seen a lot of. Folks that are mostly carny and are like, hey, you should buy this book. Oh my God. Yeah. Great. And then when you're like, no, they're like, okay. Or you'll go and you'll see you get these mainly at comic conventions. And I get that. Probably a big part of it is just they are socially awkward. But like, it's a huge proverbial turnoff, to go to a con and like, they're just sitting there ignoring you, drawing and doing other things, and you're just like, hey, hi, and they're like, yeah, what's up? And again, I get that it's probably social awkwardness, though some of it is just a too cool for school mentality that you do find more often than you would think of these things, where they're just posing and imposing, and it gets tiresome. The convention was called Motor City Legacy, second year show in the lesser Detroit area, towards, you know, it's actually near the airport, so it's in a place called Roscommon. Smaller show, but you know, it seemed like it was well put together. They had some fun guests. It's funny because I vacillated. You know, the fanboy in me is like, you always want huge guests, like huge, you're like, oh my God, I want to, and you don't think about how much it costs to do this or the logistics or this or that. You just want names, and you don't even necessarily want to go and get stuff from all of these names. You just like the idea that you're around all these cool people, and it's kind of fun, I admit, to go and like kind of creep on these folks and be like, oh my gosh, that's so and so, holy cow. But in doing our own shows, I found as well, I think it's pretty awesome to focus on the lesser known actors that are still in these things. I mean, you know, when you get in the horror genre, there's yeah, there's people that dip in and out all the time, but there's, you know, only X amount that do it all the time and that are just part of the genre and they embrace the genre. And it's cool to meet those folks and to meet the people that appreciate you and your fandom and appreciate what, you know, what they do and are not like just day trippers kind of looking for a job. Like, yeah, you know, not like, oh, this was a really interesting thriller and I just, you know, well, no, it's a slasher movie. Well, no, it's a psychological thriller about blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, it's okay. Okay, whatever. So it's cool to meet these folks, to be around them. And I appreciate the ability to kind of support those actors. And I always use actor as a desexualized term, but actors and actresses, we'll say, and creators and stuff. It's cool. It's fun to be able to talk to them and kind of just show them appreciation. I appreciate shows that do that. Like, that's what, I guess, like I say, we did. It's a cost saver for sure, but it's also something that is missed by a lot of these shows that focus on big names, and they want, you know, and I get why, is you need big names, like it or lump it, to bring in fans, because again, fans want the big names. But I think they forget that part of the attraction, you know, is the vending, and you just want, I mean, good is it's always kind of up in, you know, to the up to the viewer, as it were. It's debatable what a good vending is, but you know, you want interesting vending, you want a wide variety of stuff. You want people that want to be there more than anything. You want people that want to be there, and they're going to support the show, because you kind of need the everybody getting the word out and stuff. So it helps. But it was fun. A friend of mine got to meet Mick Garris real quick and say hello and get a photo, and that was awesome. Mick Garris is one of those modern, you know, legends of horror. It's sad that they're, you know, we're kind of getting towards last man standing almost, where so many of the old guard are gone. But it's nice. You know, it was great because Wes Craven was one of those folks that was like such a great advocate for horror, because he would talk about the, you know, symbolism and intellectualism and the meanings and this and that. And it was cool, because even if you didn't dig his movies, you could, You could tell he appreciated the genre and the history of it, and kind of the power it had. And Mick Garris is the same. And it's a very, very, very kind guy. I met him briefly in 2005 at World Horror Con and talked to him for a second. And it was super cool. Really, really approachable, affable guy. Very much not smoking his own pipe kind of thing. Like, he's not hung up on himself. Just a nice guy. I appreciate that. Because again, it's rare to find. You know, saw lots of familiar faces, which, having done these shows for a while, you start to kind of get to know the folks. That's one of the things that's fun about the vending and just horror in general, is the camaraderie and the family kind of thing. And it's weird. It's interesting. It had been a minute since I'd been one. And so you go and you see all these people with like piercings and tattoos and, you know, horror movie t-shirts and lots of black shorts and black pants and blah, blah, blah. And so it's even if somebody kind of in the circuit, in the family, it's kind of, you're like, whoa. And it's funny because it's been a minute, and you get all of these like assumptions and stereotypes pop in your head, like, oh well, ho. And then you go in and they're like the, you know, generally some of the most affable, nice people, like enthusiastic, silly, weird, because if, you know, they get to kind of cut loose and be amongst them, their own, and everybody gets to kind of be geeky and have fun, and it's great. It is really fun for them to be able to do that. And I appreciate that too. It's nice to be amongst one's own, as it were. So, you know, if you've never, like, I have a friend who, had never been to a horror con, and I totally, you know, conventions in general are fun, but I think if you have a genre that you love, like if you love anime, if you love comic books, if you love, like, going to your genre specific one is great. It's a great experience. It's fun. It's neat to be able to see these folks that do the stuff that you love and to show them appreciation and just kind of like, wow, you know, like this is so-and-so. It's cool. It's a fun experience. So I definitely recommend it and think, you know, I miss doing them as a vendor and as a someone who put them together. I miss that because it's hard and it's expensive, but like it's just such a fun, it's a rush and it's fun. And it's neat to be in the atmosphere. Cause again, it's like you are family for 2-3 days. Like cause everybody's in it together and you're just like, oh, did you see that person? Gosh, you know, like I remember I met this woman, writer at a show and we, bonded over a mutually terrible experience with this drunk fan that was judging both of our works like harshly, like our writing, like, yeah, blah 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 blah, you shouldn't do this and that's blah, and she was just the worst and it was just so funny. She is a writer on her of her own merit, and this woman and I just bonded over this, and it's great. And it's great because you meet, you know, you'll make friends that you didn't expect to make, and it's just, it's a fun time. And it was a fun show. Marcel Legacy was a fun show. Like I say, like they had some fun guests. I didn't interact with anybody. But they had some fun guests. I appreciated that they brought in essentially a scholar of Japanese horror from overseas, from I think London. The UK at least, to kind of discuss that on a panel. I'm like, that's pretty cool. Like, I like that they were thinking outside of the box. So I think we get so caught up in, like, at these cons, like, I want to see this actor. I want to see Freddy. I want to see Jason. I want to see Leatherface. Like, everybody wants to see, like, these big, big names and these folks. And we miss out on so many of the people that really know their stuff and know their genre and have a lot to say and a lot to teach and a lot to share. And I think that's great when you know, you have a chance to go and experience that. And I think the thing is you go to these shows, if you're going to go, like, you're paying, they're not cheap anymore. They're expensive. Go see some short films. Go see some panels. Like, go talk to vendors. Go, like, experience it. Just don't go and see the couple celebrities and then go home. You know, it just go, it's an experience. You should experience it. And again, you're spending so much money, you might as well have fun while you're there. I mean, it only makes sense to me, but who am I? So I actually have caught up a little on kind of recent horror, recently. So I saw Spiral, which is the continuation of the Saw, series. And while I appreciate that it was kind of a side story, and it's interesting, it's interesting, and I get that they're like, this is still a valuable, it's a property, you know, somebody owns it, it's a franchise, and there are people, companies are loath to release franchises unless they have to, kind of, because it's easy money and you don't want to kind of give that money away. So you try to reboot and, you know, sequel and prequel and blah, 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 blah. And I mean, there's interesting ideas and they just didn't do anything with it. I did not like Spiral at all. It was horribly, horribly written. It was as if it had, like, the people behind it had just watched Seven and were like, ooh, wow, that movie's interesting. Let's go make that. But in the Jigsaw universe, and they're just, you know, a lot late to that party. But it's interesting because it was because after Seven, you know, we got a lot of procedural slasher movies or serial killer movies with, you know, dark and dreary and, you know, trying to track down the murderer before it's too late kind of stuff. We got a lot of those. And this was just trying to jump on that train a little late. But he didn't had nothing new to add, had nothing new to say. It was as nihilistic as the rest of the series. That's, you know, been a big problem I have with that series, is it's just pure nihilism. Like, there's no redemption, no hope. It's just like, everybody must suffer. And it's interesting, and the kills are fun-ish. Though the new one, it seems like they cut it, like, a ton. Like, it seems like so much got left on the top, you know, cutting room floor, that it's like half the fun and the point of going to see a Saw movie is to see all these crazy contraptions and see people get ripped in half and blah, blah, blah. And that stuff was cut, I would say. So it's kind of like, cool, no. So I did not like it in the least. It's funny, I've seen little, like, ridiculous, I hate listicles and, like, those terrible articles that are just trying to make something. They're trying to find something to say when they don't have anything to say, and it's like, oh, people are going crazy over the new movie is streaming on Prime or whatever it is. And it's like, the use and abuse of Instagram comments and Twitter comments is insane to me, because they treat it as if it's like news quotes, and it's just somebody like, dude, this movie's dope, hashtag dope, hashtag spiral, hashtag yo. And I hate it. It's just, it's terrible. It's a terrible, like, I don't know that you're getting the pulse of fans, because those could be bots. Those could be PR people. Those could be any, they could just be somebody who just doesn't, yeah, you know, like, they watch 10 minutes of it. Who knows? But I just, I don't know. I don't like that as a go-to to get the pulse of the fan. And I think it's lazy. But yeah, I've seen that, like, article. They're like, oh yeah, fans. And it's like, man, I mean, hey, more power to you, enjoy. I we should all enjoy what we enjoy, and if that's what, you know, gets you going, hot potato, good for you. Good. It did not do it for me, not so much. I saw Smile, and Smile is, you know, one of the new generation horror movies that everybody was talking about. It's really well done. It's interesting. It's very creepy. Great buildup. Definitely worth a look, especially because it's streaming at the moment. So it's definitely worth a look. I thought they fumbled the ball at the end. The reveal of what is behind the Smile stuff is like really good. Like the ending, there's set pieces that are great. There's great stuff, and it pulls an old trope out from older horror movies, and I just hated it. And it, like, instead of kind of making their own path and kind of like, we're going to do this, because to me at this point, I don't want to ever give anything away, but like, downer endings in horror movies have to be earned, and they have to mean something, or it's just, and that was a big problem I had with Saw, the Saw series, is that they do that and they don't mean anything. And they don't say anything. It's just like, boom, you all thought they were going to live, but they died. Or, you know, just like to bring the house down or to show how edgy they are. Like, yeah, you thought you'd get a happy ending. You don't. No one gets a happy ending. It's like, so I just, to me, it has to have a purpose, like a reason. And this is coming from someone who does a lot of work, writing and such, that are downer endings, that are not cheerful, like everybody wins, everybody gets a cupcake at the end. But I just feel like it has to mean something. It has to say something. It has to be for a reason. And I just feel like there's too many movies that don't do that. Like, they go for, like, oh, it's going to be cool on film. It's going to look really great. But, like, what is... But I just sat with you for an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever. Why? What did it mean? What's going on? What happened? So it's, you know, Smile was interesting. It's again, worth a look. Got some cool stuff in it. It's creepy. I just don't, and I don't know if I love them. I mean, it felt like part of the message was someone who dealing with, there's revelations in it that you're like, oh, this character that, you know, one of the characters we're following. Oh, here's a revelation that I don't like. And that's kind of makes me not root for them. like, huh, interesting. And I don't think it was their intention necessarily, but, there's just trading on trauma, and almost like there's no hope. You're just like a traumatized person, and you're always will be kind of sometimes. If that was a movie that felt like that was kind of thing, and I'm sure it wasn't an intentional thought, but it feels that way and it comes off that way. And that was, didn't really fire up the booster either. So I mean, again, it's okay. It's a decent movie. It's worth a look. I think it was overrated. Sorry. Yeah, whatever. I can't remember. I watched Barbarian a while ago, and Barbarian went great. It's weird that suddenly there's these modern Detroit horror movies that are very rapey, like, which is a bother, because that's, you know, and it's weird that people haven't talked about that with Barbarian, that there's a very rapey undertone. Like, there is an overtone of it, but there's an undertone. It's like a very rapey movie. But the twist is great. Like, there's a twist kind of at a point, like, where you're like, oh, okay. It's super interesting. I think they left some of the plates on the table, because I think there were some things they could have done that would have been just, like, I think was, like, jaw-droppers. It's like, oh! But it was a fun movie. It's a super fun roller coaster ride. Like, super entertaining. Well worth checking out. Much like Black Phone was fantastic. It's a very... It's a throwback movie, and it is, you know, I don't know that it offers anything you're not going to expect, but it's so well done, and it's so engaging, and so well acted, and just really taught. Super good movie. So that one I absolutely recommend. I think Black Phone was fantastic, and I just today watched Terrifier 2 after it's been out for forever. Like, I finally had the time, and it's free. So I watched it, and I have to hand it to Damien Leone. Like, it takes a lot of guts to make a movie that long that is it's a fantasy slasher, and it really is so ambitious. And there's surrealism, and there's, you know, a friend and I were talking, and there are elements that are very Nightmare on Elm Street, and he pulls it off, because he seems like he gets kind of that dream mentality, you know, like it's a weird hard thing to get, and he pulled it off. It was funny because I did not expect to like it, and I really did like it. I think it's overly long, it's overly self-indulgent. I kind of like those things about it, oddly enough, because again, I think it's gutsy to tell a story that big and that long. That's, it's a slasher movie. It's funny that I meant, like, hearing that, seeing that supposedly people were barfing in the theaters is just silly. Just because it's like, man, you need to see some, like it's super duper gory. But he filmed it in such a way that it's not, like, generally not leering, like, just still shot of someone just, like, going through someone's guts and, like, this volume stuff. Like, it is quick shots and stuff. So, I don't know. I mean, everybody has their own tolerance. I can think of probably other movies that would probably affect me more and turn my stomach more. But hey, man, you know, whatever. I went and saw Requiem for a Dream way back in the day, and somebody threw up. So, I mean, hey, whatever. No, really, like, I Art is a fantastic... Like, he is a great horror villain, and it's great that we have a modern horror villain like that, and they know what they want to do with him, they know what they're doing with him, and it's great. I'm super curious, because they've opened up a whole weird surreal element that I'm super curious to see what they're going to do with, because they're obviously going to make more of these. I like that they changed it up from the first one. Like, there's a lot to like, you know. Again, it's overly long. It's funny because it leans, I'm tired of movies that lean so heavily on the 80s, because, like, man, you know, we did the 80s, and now we're reliving the 80s again. Like, we can make a modern movie. The music was fun, the color scheme, like, all of it's great. It's just, I want to, you know, I'm tired of living in the 80s. I'm tired of living in the past. Like, okay, we've done it. There's holy cow, it is, there's so much music in it, and it's funny because I think, sitting thinking, yeah, like, I have music all around, you know, all the time, kind of in the car or this or that or wherever, but, like, man alive, it's always interesting that people, like, the people in these kind of movies always have music going. Like, there's always a soundtrack to them and to their lives, and maybe people do live that way. I don't necessarily, but I also listen to a lot of, like, sports talk radio, so what do I know? I'm not necessarily the best guy to point to on that one, I guess. So that's always weird. Some bad writing, like there's the mother character and it's just terrible. Some of the writing, like the 12-year-old boy references daddy and mommy. I'm like, he's 12. I don't know, a lot of 12-year-olds would say mommy and daddy. Again, could be wrong. What do I know? So some of that just doesn't ring true. The mother character was super heavy-handed. There was a sequence where it was weird, where this couple that's like, and it's there's so many tropes in this, but it all works together. Like it's intentional, I think, where it's like the best friend and the boyfriend, and they meet, and the boyfriend kind of ogles her, the final girl kind of character, Sienna. When they meet, of course, a club, blah blah blah, and then later on, he's sympathetic towards her and worried about her, and then it switches, and then he's trying to get laid, and the friend, you know, his girlfriend, the friend who was kind of like whatever about her, is suddenly now she's concerned. So it's weird. It was weird writing. It was awkward. Like where they were almost making them both holder characters, but then they have to throw in the like, oh no, they're alone for 10 minutes, so they're going to bone. It's like they're a couple. They can bone anytime they want. I'm sure those characters do bone anytime they want. Like it's weird in these movies where it's like, oh, we have 5 minutes alone. We better get it. I mean, they're quote unquote young, and I'm sure people do that, but yeah, I don't know, it's a very movie thing, I'm afraid, and it just felt very movie thing. And the movie has when I reviewed it, I gave it a 3.5. Like I'd give it probably a 3.75, because there are a lot of those movie kind of things that happen that are just like, oh, that's a movie thing, okay. Like you see a terrible thing happen and you stand for a minute or two and just watch it continue to happen. You don't try to help. You don't run away. You just stand. And I get that you would be in shock in some sequences, but a lot of time you go and run, or you're going to something other than stand and become another victim. But you know, super, I mean, it's funny again, like there's a scene where someone, like it was a notorious scene of guy getting his junk ripped off. And people were just all agape about it. I'm like, bro, go watch. And I can't, Night of the Beast or something. It's a 1981 movie about Bigfoot. That is worse. Where a dude is peeing into the woods and Bigfoot just grabs his junk and yanks. That's awful. Like, it was pretty awful. Like, the Terrifier 2 scene, there's a lot to it, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just jaded. Or, oh gosh, oh my gosh, what is it called? Oh, it's one of Yorg Butgereit's movies. It's his last movie, and I can't think of the name of it. But that one, wow. Yeah, no, that one's another one with some genital stuff that's real, and it's just like, bro, bro, I'm good. Whatever, though. I mean, people, you know, whatever. It's good, though. It was a fun movie. It was really fun. It was way more fun than it had a right to be. If you can get past the gore and stuff, it's really fun. It's an interesting idea. It's an interesting story. What they're doing is so gutsy. And I love, like, they took something that was just, like, weird clown killing people, and they made it, they took it further and weirder, and they didn't just sit on he didn't just sit on his laurels and just kind of like, that's cool, I'm just going to make it, like, gorier and, like, have naked ladies and blah, blah, blah. Like, no, they went, like, he went in every aspect, like, turned it up. So it'll be interesting to see what he does next. Like, I feel like I'll turn it down and make more like a tighter movie, a small movie, like but we'll see. It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what he does, and I'd like to see him do something else. Like, I hope he doesn't get stuck just doing Art the Clown movies. They're fun, but like, it'd be interesting to see him do other stuff, and I hope he does. Yeah, so that's, you know, that's where I'm at. That's you know, the horror world is a poppin'. There's a lot of stuff coming out. I keep hearing how we're in, I'm not going to argue that we're not in kind of a renaissance of sorts lately. Like, there's a lot of great stuff coming out, so it's cool to see. So hopefully you're getting a chance to see some of it. I hope you are well, my friend. I am Spooky Chris, Church of the Weird. Just hanging out here. If you want to learn more about me, see my short films, check out my books, go to spookychris.com. That's where all my podcasts are and everything else. I will talk to you soon, my friend. Farewell.